Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved. Oh, I bet
amazing why. He's business's bad boy.
You're bad, and I like it.
Yep, he's one bad apple.
That's right, we're bad. That's right.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for staying with me. Thanks for being part of my day. My pleasure to continue to be with you. You're going to be glad you're here because we got Dr. David Gratzer back with us, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Gratzer is a good friend of ours, a member of our Brain Trust. He is a physician. He is also a senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute. He's the author of The Cure and also The Broadside, Why Obama's Government Takeover of Healthcare Will Be a Disaster. And he's here to talk to us about that very issue. David Gratzer, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Good to be back.
It's good to have you back. David, okay. There was a moment in time. Let me back up way back just for a minute. I want to remind people that I have not come to this healthcare debate lately. David, you may not know this, but I've been talking about reforming the healthcare system, primarily with market solutions, with portability. I've been talking about this since 1998. I was talking about it before there were my medical savings accounts, before there were health savings accounts, before Mike Inslee was working on buying health care across state lines, et cetera, et cetera. A long, long time. So I feel like I'm, I don't want people to think that I'm just piling on to the president and the Democrats for what they're doing right now. I've got a long history of this. And there have been a lot of proposals that have made a lot of sense over the years for market-based health care reform that have been rejected by Congress. Never got a chance to get to the president. And so many times it never got out of the committee in the Senate. So a couple weeks ago, I actually had some hope that this disaster of a program that they're working on right now would not get out of the Senate committee, but it wound up getting out just enough, right? They had just enough votes. Right, David?
Right.
And so it passed. It got out of the Senate, out of that committee. Now it's on the Senate. It's being debated in the Senate, right?
Literally on the floor today.
Literally, exactly on the floor today. And tell us are they going to have 60 votes again to get it over to the committee between conference committee between the House and the Senate?
Probably. Certainly in its present form, they would. Now, we're getting a little bit technical.
Yeah.
And some of your listeners who want to delve into the technicalities will find a former Bush White House economist by the name of Kenneth Hennessy blogs on this, and he'll go into the technical details. But basically, with the public option, with everything we've got in it right now, yeah, you need 60 votes.
Right. But we don't know that they've got that. But my point is there was... I was hoping that some moderates on the Democrat side would get some backbone and would prevent this thing from happening in its current form. But that looks like that probably isn't going to happen because they're being bought off, basically. So we're going to wind up with something. Do you feel confident that we're going to wind up with some kind of an intrusion into our healthcare system by the government?
If this passes, without a doubt.
Yeah. And what handicap the passage of this thing? What do you think? What do you think will wind up happening?
I literally don't know. Look, the president is very strong, particularly within his party. They've got the votes in the House. They've got a huge majority in the Senate, and they've got every lobbyist basically in Washington pushing for this. That's a hell of a tailwind to have.
Yeah.
To navigate that ship. With each passing day, though, as more details of this bill come out, the American people are turning on it, and I do think you're seeing some hesitation on the part of moderate Democrats. So I don't know.
There's still a chance that we could stop this behemoth from devouring the greatest healthcare system in the world. It's obviously our healthcare system has problems, but we need to fix it. We don't need to throw it out, throw the baby out with the bathwater. So you're saying that there is still a chance that, that cooler heads could prevail.
6 months ago, I was thinking about self-prescribing antidepressants. today, I'm much more hopeful. But, you know, you've hit the nail on the head. Those of us who have issues with this legislation, and boy, can't me in that group, are not opposed to reforming health care. We've got to reform health care in this country. And I think the biggest reason to reform health care is the one outlined, by the way, by the White House, by very smart people in the White House like Peter Warshak, who have suggested that the cost outlays are such that on the public side, Medicare, Medicaid, we can't afford the system. And on the private side, particularly to your listeners in the small business community, we can't afford the status quo.
Right.
The trouble is that by that standard, we're falling short with this legislation.
Right. It's not. It's actually not accomplishing the thing that the proponents of the bill are so indignant about. Stand by. We're going to take a quick break, folks. Dr. David Gretzer is our guest. When we come back, we're going to get into some of the details if this thing passes. Back at 17 till, I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you'll check it out. We built it just for you. You show up there, and you got 5 seconds or 15 minutes or anywhere in between on any topic under the small business sun. We got something that will help you there. Smallbusinessadvocate.com. And don't forget to kick me out on Twitter if you're there. I'm at Jim Blasingame. You can follow me, and I'll do my best to keep you informed. Dr. David Gretzer is with us, ladies and gentlemen. David is a physician. He's a senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute, the author of The Cure, and he's one of our top healthcare experts in the Brain Trust. And David, and we're talking, folks, with David about the possibility of the healthcare reform bill passing or not passing, what it's going to look like, and what it's going to do for you and me, or to you and me, small business owners. David, let's give our best shot to what will be the most likely thing to pass. Let's say that it passes. Let's say it passes in its current form. Somehow, in some weird way, the public option winds up being in it.
Sure.
The House gets what they want. The left in the Senate get what they want. It just winds up, they wind up shoving it down our throats. What will that do? What will that look like for small business?
Well, a couple of things to note for small business. First of all, despite all of the things that have been said about reducing premiums, there's really no evidence in independent analysis, including done by the CBO, by the way, that premiums are going to come down.
CBO, the Congressional Budget Office. This is
right.
Their own. These are the Congress's own analysts, ladies and gentlemen.
Right, and run by a Democratic economist, albeit a pretty fair one.
Right.
So, you know, if
there's no evidence that premiums will come down.
Thinking that, my goodness me, premiums keep rising, I need this to save some money, it's not going to happen. If you believe that the public option would save you money, I would point out that you and others out there are probably wrong, but even if you're right, you wouldn't even have the option of opting into that public option until about 2013, 2014. And by the way, you'll be paying taxes into the system starting as early as next year.
So let's slow down just a little. Let's make sure we got this straight. Folks, if the public option is in, you're going to start paying for it next year, but you won't have access to it for 4 or 5 years.
That's right.
Or 4 years.
Especially large employers certainly won't have it until about halfway through the next decade. So
I want to stick something else in here that I think is really important. Folks, the only way they can make this thing match, kind of sound halfway like it might work from a number standpoint, is to play with the numbers. And as you may have heard, they're talking about collecting revenue for 10 years. In a 10-year period that they're talking about what this is going to cost, they're going to collect revenue from you and me for 10 years, but they're only going to deliver services for about 6 years. Am I right about that, David?
Right. What the Congressional Budget Office typically does is score over 10 years.
Yeah.
And that's partly by tradition. And so to make the numbers look better, they've said, well, look, you know, this is going to be really expensive. It's almost surely going to drive up the deficit. So we'll phase this in over 4 or 5 years, but we'll collect taxes from day one. So in other words, you get those great press releases like you've been reading about out of the Senate Democrats saying, you know, this is going to cut the deficit over 10 years. Well, that's because they're fast and loose with implementation.
Well, and what some of the Republicans have pointed out, that if you, Judd Gregg was one of them, I think, from New Hampshire, he said, why don't we, if we're really going to look at this thing the right way, let's go out 4 years and let's measure that the next 10 years, where we're collecting money and delivering service the entire 10 years. And when he looked at that, it was about way over $1 trillion, maybe a $2 trillion shortfall.
In fact, right now on the Weekly Standard website, which is www.weeklystandard.com, there's a good analysis from Jeffrey Anderson, who's maybe one of the smartest people on this point in America, senior fellow at the Pacific Research Institute, saying probably you're looking at about $2.5 trillion over 10 years.
In the 10 years when tax revenue and services are being remitted and delivered.
Which is really
the only way to do it.
Only meaningful way to do it, right?
Well,
I'm expanding my business. You don't say how much is it going to cost, and they say, well, you know, I'm expanding it in 2 years, so I'm only going to look at the next 5 years and come up with this meaningless number. You look at how much it's going to cost you.
No customer is going to give you a 10-year contract where they pay you for 10 years, but you only deliver a product for 6 years. When I was a kid, David, there was a comic strip series called Bizarro World.
Right.
I don't know if you've ever heard of that or not, but
I remember.
Everything is backward. Everything is opposite. That's what this is. This is right out of a Bizarro World comic book.
Well, and remember some of the other claims, and this is still very much relevant to those of us in the small business community. One of the big reasons for pushing this through was to bend the curve. You remember that expression, to reduce long-term health costs. There have been three analyses done on the bills so far. Nothing yet on the Reid bill, because that just came out. But there's been two analyses by the Lewin Group on earlier versions of this on the House and Senate side. There's been an analysis by the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, which, by the way, is a federal body. And all three analyses have said that over 10 years, health costs will rise, not shrink, with these bills. Rise.
And here's the other thing. There's one other thing to point out. One of the big points for reforming health care was to get everybody insured. There are 42 million Americans don't have insurance, even though that number is not is a disingenuous number. This bill only covers about half of those people.
Well, there are so many problems with it. I mean, part of the reason why it takes so long to kick in and doesn't insure more people but at such high cost is because of the incredibly complicated way they've done this. You know, Martin Feldstein in the Washington Post, as you remember, the prominent economist,
I got to interrupt you for a second. Folks, we're going to take a quick break. We got more to come with David Gratzer. Dr. David Gratzer is going to talk to us a little bit more about this, some more information on this ridiculous health care bill that's going through Congress right now. We still have time to stop it. Tintel, stay with us. Little Robert Cray bringing us back, one of my favorite blues men. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Hi, folks, I'm Jim Blassingame. Welcome back. Glad to continue to be with you. Thanks for staying with me. Dr. David Gratzer is with us. He is a physician and a senior, as well as a senior fellow at Manhattan Institute, author of The Cure, and also The Broadside, Why Obama's Government Takeover of Healthcare Will Be a Disaster. David, tell us how we can find your books and how we can find you at Manhattan Institute.
Sure. The booklet's available through Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com. It's in better bookstores across the country. It's about 46 pages and cleanly explains what's wrong with American health care, what's wrong with Obamacare, and what would be a common sense free market alternative. And it's well priced to move.
And Manhattan-Institute.org, right?
Absolutely. If you're interested in more of my writings, you can find it there. You'll find my recent essays, including one in the New York Daily News that appeared just yesterday, suggesting that Medicare cuts were like Santa Claus and his reindeer, often talked about but never seen.
And so, you're a physician. What kind of medicine did you or do you practice?
Psychiatry.
Psychiatry. Okay, I'd forgotten about that. And are you still practicing?
Yes.
Okay. So, as you look as a physician, how in general? I mean, has the AMA supported this takeover of healthcare? I mean, I got the feeling I heard that they had. Did they represent the rank and file physician?
That's an excellent question. AIM is in terrible trouble, as they've been for more than a decade, with declining membership numbers. And like a lot of physician associations across the Western world, think Canada, think Britain, they've discovered that it's difficult to weigh in on controversial measures because doctors are divided themselves, but it's easy to talk about money. So they'll like any bill that does something good with physician reimbursement rates, which is not what an association ought to do, right?
Right, exactly. And also another group that's interesting, AARP has weighed in. They're supporting this bill, and it seems to me like that's rolling their members under the bus.
One has to feel that they know something that we don't, and what I think that they suspect is that the Medicare cuts, which are the cornerstone of paying for the Obamacare plan, $400 to $500 billion over 10 years, depending on whether you're talking about the House or Senate bills, they obviously think this will never come to be.
Mm-hmm.
Which is my assessment as well.
Which basically means that we're being lied to.
Well, it basically means that the scheme to pay for this is nonsensical. Why is that? Because you have a bipartisan majority in Congress going back over a decade that has always canceled cuts to Medicare.
Yeah.
And by the way, by cuts, we mean restraining future growth. We don't actually mean cutting into the program.
Right. So small business owners are trying to decide where they're going to be in all this, and they hear that it's going to help them provide health care for their employees and make it easier for them to do that and hold their health care costs down and their insurance costs down. What do you say to them when they hear those things?
You're right to be concerned about these things. The health care market really doesn't work for small businesses. Costs continue to rise, but this is not going to solve those problems, unfortunately.
One of the things that I've been proposing and have been talking about for all these years now, over almost 12 years, is getting a 21st century tax structure for deductibility of health care, making the deductions individuals rather than just for the corporation, where employees of a small business get the same level of deduction that they would if they worked for a big company, and to make that portable, to make the health care portable, to find a way to make small business, to make people become consumers of healthcare, not just patients. And you, one of the ways to do that is to promote health savings accounts, which I think over the next two generations could be an incredible wealth-building opportunity. What do you think?
I'm completely on side. At the end of this broadside, I talk about some basic ideas, which, by the way, wouldn't bust the Treasury. That would make things better. But, yeah, fundamentally, we ought to make insurance as easy as possible for individuals and businesses to get.
Yeah.
And there's so many regulations that stand in the way today, but including, by the way, with health savings accounts. So, we had to move in the other direction. We ought to make it easier for businesses to work together. We ought to make it easier for businesses to choose amongst options and easier for individuals to acquire insurance in the first place.
David, my company, myself and my family and my employees all have health savings accounts. They work like a charm.
I think that they're a step in the right direction. I think it is challenging for some people, given the dearth of information and transparency out there, but that's something that could be addressed without spending $2.5 trillion over a decade.
Exactly, and taking over our healthcare system. David Gratzer, thanks for being here. Good job today.
A pleasure as always. Cheers.
See you next time. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'll be back after the news, I promise.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.